Ready! It's time to turn on!
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
In COVID history, as we head into April 2020, President Trump is a ratings hit. Mr. Trump and his coronavirus updates have attracted an audience of 8.5 million, roughly the viewership of the season finale of The Bachelor. That's not me talking. That's literally what the president tweeted. Word for word. It was weird.
Did you know I was number one on Facebook?
Number one on Facebook. So, Mr. Number One, how do we beat this pandemic? Maybe by wearing masks. The CDC says it's a good idea.
With the masks, it's going to be really a voluntary thing. You can do it. You don't have to do it. I'm choosing not to do it.
Great thinking, Mr. T. Who needs masks when you have tonight's sponsor, hydroxychloroquine?
Hydroxychloroquine.
It's unbelievable and totally untested.
We have purchased 29 million pills. We're sending them to the hospitals. We're sending them all over. There are signs that it works on this, some very strong signs.
But don't just take his word for it.
Everything shows that it works.
I think this is the beginning of the end of the pandemic. I'm very serious.
Yeah, I think history will judge who's right on this debate. I bet on President Trump's intuition on this one.
Yes, our president knows best.
What do you have to lose? Take it.
Yes, just shut up and put it in your butt. This has been This Week in COVID History.
Simpler times.
This is going to be gone. It'll be gone. Hopefully gone for a long time.
I'd love to have it open by Easter.
It's amazing. You are 100% wrong. I mean, nothing you've said has been right.
Thank you. I can stand the sight of her and look at microscopic nerves. Technical effect is really too much for me.
I am not the type to break.
Chase him away, chase him away. I'm afraid, need your aid, because of his long parade. Big elephants, big elephants, big elephants.
Another major news day, and when I say major, I am again talking about President Biden's dog, who last night, I informed you, bit an employee of the National Park Service. This was his second attack this month. And then today we learn via the AP that Major or his colleague Champ has defiled the hallway outside the reception room just off the White House South Lawn. What a scoop that is. That is... I like that the White House dog making a bowel movement is a news story. A year ago, we were out of ventilators.
I'm down the Texas border, along with 18 senators. We made the trip to see the crisis that is playing out.
It's a humanitarian tragedy, but it's literally insane policy.
They toured the Rio Grande, the Democrats say. A photo ops with Susan, Chuck, and John. Cause up to now they didn't give a rat's a.
This is madness.
About any border crises going on. They ought to be embarrassed by their hypocrisy, stringing their constituents along.
It's time to take back the border.
But ain't it only like the corrupted GOP, pretending like they don't know right from wrong.
Yeah, right, I know.
They suck. That's why everyone loves to hate on Ted and Lindsay. Their problem isn't popularity. You'd think they'd be ashamed of the shenanigans they try, but never Cancun Cruise or Lady G. They really only care about Ted and Lindsay, but that don't mean they can't put on a show. When Texans are in peril and in need of his support, old Teddy's right there on the ground and holding down the fort. Well, unless he's relaxing down by the pool at a fucking five-star resort. He's gone about as low as he can go.
Not yet.
He's gone about as low as he can go.
Everyone loves to hate on Ted and Lindsay. From Washington, D.C. to Santa Rosa.
They barely gave a crap when their democracy was hacked.
But now they're dressed in costumes and they're trying to distract. So the only thing the country can agree on is the fact that Ted and Lindsay really gotta go.
Damn straight.
We know that Ted and Lindsay gotta go. Everyone always dunks on Ted and
everyone always dunks him.
Quite frankly, it's my favorite thing to do.
Oh, it's my favorite.
It makes me lose my lunch to see him
trifling on TV,
spouting propaganda till they're blue. Everyone loves to hate on Ted and Lindsay,
a couple douchebags
who've cheered on every coup and quid pro quo. One day Lindsay jumps through hoops when Daddy Donald calls.
Hey,
the next he's clutching pearls when his supporters climb the walls. Then he's back in the game playing golf with his buddy and begging to hold his balls.
They've gone about as low as they can go.
Ugh, gross.
They've gone about as slow as they can. Gone about as slow as they can. Gone about as slow as they can.
And best man having the microphone ripped away 10 seconds into his wedding toast, Matt Gaetz is being investigated by the Justice Department over whether everything you'd assumed about him is more or less true.
On March 16th, my father got a text message demanding a meeting wherein a person demanded $25 million in exchange for making horrible sex trafficking allegations against me go away. Our family was so troubled by that, we went to the local FBI. And the FBI and the Department of Justice were so concerned about this attempted extortion of a member of Congress that they asked my dad to wear a wire which he did with the former Department of Justice official.
Must be totally innocent since someone thought they could only squeeze a mere $25 million out of him. Later, startling new details emerged in this case, this time broken by intrepid reporter Matt Gaetz.
I really saw this as a deeply troubling challenge for my family on March 16th when people were, you know, talking about a minor and that there were pictures of me with child prostitutes.
Excuse me, I don't think we're talking about love here. We're talking about S-E-X in front of the C-H-I-L-D-R-E-N.
Sex cauldron? I thought they closed that place down.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Apology to our viewers. It's difficult to hear Matt Gaetz over the sound of federal prosecutors typing every word he says into the indictment. Rob, you're a screenwriter. Assuming this is the first 5 minutes of the Matt Gaetz movie, how's the rest going to go?
You know, I think Gaetz has a good case here. When you talk about the $25 million extortion fund and the father wearing the wire, it sounds so plausible.
Fate is so cruel. Matt had just finished floating the weird, sudden decision to quit Congress and work for the shadiest network on TV. Then bam, he finds out about the months-long criminal inquiry he knew about.
He's reportedly being investigated by the Department of Justice. They're looking into whether or not he had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old and paid for her travel across state lines, which becomes sex trafficking. Gaetz, by the way, was the only congressman, Democrat or Republican, to vote against a law that gave the government more power to fight human trafficking.
Why then would I be the only no vote in the entire Congress against legislation that had human trafficking in the title?
Not only does Gaetz deny the charges, he tried to explain to Tucker Carlson last night that the real victim is him.
I'm not the only person on screen right now who's been falsely accused of a terrible sex act. You were accused of something that you did not do, and so you know what this feels like.
And now Tucker's like, how the hell did I get roped into this?
You just referred to a mentally ill viewer who accused me of a sex crime 20 years ago. And it was not true. I'd never met the person. But I do agree with you that being accused falsely is one of the worst things that can happen.
Yes, I know this because I do it almost every night on my show. although this interview was so all over the place, you'd think Matt Gaetz owned a pillow company.
Tears on my pillow.
What is the basis of that investigation? What is the allegation? That's really not very clear from these news stories.
Yeah, again, I only know what I've read in the New York Times. I can say that actually you and I went to dinner about 2 years ago. Your wife was there, and I brought a friend of mine. You'll remember her.
I don't remember the woman you're speaking of or the context at all, honestly.
This is like when your college roommate shows up and meets your new wife and starts saying things. Remember the time we had that threesome with a goat? And you're like... Gaetz went on to say he suspects he's being targeted because his father is rich and he's a prominent Republican. He even named the former DOJ official he said is targeting him. But this isn't a partisan investigation. In fact, it was opened by Trump's attorney general, Bill Barr, who reportedly didn't want to be seen with Matt Gaetz in public. According to Politico, Barr was supposed to do a meet and greet with some Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee, but canceled when he found out Gaetz was going to be there. So this explanation and his behavior flustered even his dinner pal, Tucker, who did a little post-mortem for the folks watching at home.
If you just saw our Matt Gaetz interview, that was one of the weirdest interviews I've ever conducted.
This is a man who interviewed someone who claims Hillary Clinton was running a satanic pedophile operation out of a pizza place, so there's always a twist.
The two gentlemen who tried to extort congressman and car salesman who thinks he's the funny one on the lot, Matt Gaetz, said the $25 million would be used to bring back kidnapped and presumed dead FBI agent Bob Levinson. The Washington Examiner came correct with receipts revealing a blackmail document saying authorities had compromising photos depicting Congressman Gaetz and an election official involved in a sexual orgy with underage prostitutes. There are so many twists and turns in this story, I cannot express to you how little I've thought about the victims here. It's just like, wow, Matt Gates is going off and I cannot stop watching. Now, Kara, do you think the blackmailers invented this ruse because they evaluated Matt Gates' intelligence and decided he'd most likely fall for a story a child would make up after eating too much candy?
Yes. This is really kind of a crazy story. I don't even understand it. I know you're innocent until proven guilty, but in this case, it's so crazy. I can't even understand what's happening.
Gates didn't destroy his political career alone. No, he had help from his longtime friend, former Seminole County tax collector and man selling sandwiches in a strip club parking lot, Joel Greenberg. Last summer, Greenberg was indicted for sex trafficking of a child and financially supporting people in exchange for sex. And authorities allege that Greenberg was Gates' friend who procured a number of women for him, and they sometimes shared sexual partners. Allegedly, Gates and Greenberg met these women using websites that connect people who go on dates in exchange for gifts, travel, and allowances. You know, that thing you associate with adults. Allowance. Reportedly, Gates and Greenberg paid for travel and hotel rooms where individuals took ecstasy before having sex, including Gates. Gates's office denied the allegation, saying, "Matt Gates has never paid for sex. Matt Gates refutes all the disgusting allegations completely. Matt Gates has never, ever been on any such websites whatsoever." Well, Stephen Colbert thinks when Matt Gaetz says Matt Gaetz never paid for sex, it really makes it sound like Matt Gaetz paid for sex, Matt Gaetz, said Stephen Colbert. And reporters for the New York Times have seen receipts to these women from Cash App and Apple Pay. How dumb is Matt Gaetz? Dude, no. Don't leave a paper trail. Use the Cash App. That way it goes all up in the cloud. And then when it rains, the evidence disappears. Gates didn't keep his pervy behavior secret, allegedly. He showed his Republican colleagues photos and videos of nude women he said he had slept with while on the House floor. Remember, this is where he works. So you know those mandatory sexual harassment trainings your office holds where the examples they give are all so outrageous? You're like, who is this possibly for? It's for Matt Gaetz. Gaetz also reportedly boasted of his access to women. Who says access to women? They're humans, not the United Airlines Premier Club. Gates' reputation for creep goes all the way back to his days in the Florida legislature, where he allegedly created a game where members of the Florida House got points for sleeping with aides, interns, lobbyists, and married legislators. Ooh, fun! You know, the Justice Department has a similar game where instead of points, you get years in prison for sleeping with teenagers. Well, she was just
17. Did you know what I mean? Mr. President, this is Brett. I just got back to my chambers and I wanted to be the first to let you know that we have thrown out that case that was saying that you can't block people on Twitter.
That's great work, Brett. Okay, I know we put you on the Supreme Court for a reason. So when do I get my Twitter account back?
Well, not exactly, sir.
What do you mean? Excuse me, they said, you know, that I'm, you know, I can block people. So then, what's the problem?
Sir, we threw out the case because it was moot. Because, according to some people, you are no longer the President of the United States. And you've been banned from Twitter, so they're
moot? What is moot? Moot sounds like a racial slur that I don't know about, that I should probably use a lot more, very strongly. What the hell are you talking about, Brett? I went back on Twitter.
Sir, you have my word. If they ever come for your Parler account or your new social media account, I will double down in the weight room and I will beat the crap out of anybody who does that. I give you my word, sir.
You are such a pathetic bitch. You know, even Gorsuch is tougher than you, and that's, you know, that's a pretty bad insult. You have disappointed me, and you're a disgrace.
If you're a fan of baseball and voting, I've got an important update, because on Friday, Major League Baseball announced they are moving the All-Star Game out of Georgia. It's a dramatic story that moves baseball dangerously close to being newsworthy. Major League Baseball yanked the game because the Georgia GOP passed a major law limiting voting, like adding voter ID requirements for absentee ballots, limiting the use of ballot drop boxes, and making it a crime to approach voters in line to give them food and water. There's your classic Southern hospitality. As it says in the good book, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And then you were arrested because white people in Georgia are terrified of Stacey Abrams. For years, Republicans have been removing polling locations and shortening voting hours in order to make it harder to vote in black districts. And it's sure not a great look that Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed it behind closed doors, guarded by state troopers, surrounded by white men, while sitting under a painting of a slave plantation. He then celebrated by watching Gone with the Wind and singing all the words to Gold Digger. It is so blatantly racist that it's been dubbed Jim Crow 2.0. 2.0? Really? Georgia's passed so many voter suppression measures, they've got to be up to at least Jim Crow Snow Leopard. So on Friday, the league released a statement saying Major League Baseball fundamentally supports voting rights for all Americans and opposes restrictions to the ballot box. You know it's bad when an organization that includes the Atlanta Braves and the Cleveland Indians says you're too racist. That's like Matt Gaetz telling you to date your own age. Oh, speaking of sex criminals, the former president put out a statement on MLB's decision.
So the radical left has now ruined baseball, our great sport, our once great sport. Now it's gone the route of Kaepernick, okay? Cancel culture, radical left people in Georgia have decided that, oh, you're taking away the votes of African Americans? Well, then you can't have an all-star game. This is how radical the left has gone, just to protect the vote of some people. They want to take away the America's pastime. It's out of control. What's next? What's next? I don't even know what's next. They've gone so crazy. But, you know, baseball is now, we used to have great baseball players like Ty Cobb, okay? And, you know, then we had great people like Curt Schilling, great conservative patriot baseball players, who would go out there with bloody socks and they would win the game and they'd give all the praise to the Lord, our great God, on Easter weekend. And, you know, he would go on about his day and just commit, you know, I don't know, like some sort of financial fraud with video game companies. Just strong, patriotic, Christian behavior. Now we have a game. It's a game full of Latinos walking around like they own the place. And, you know, they hit a home run and they strut around and they flip the bat. It's a total disgrace. Why should we allow these people to come into our country and enjoy baseball? If nobody watching the game enjoys it, why should we let Latinos come in here, hit home runs, and enjoy it? The American way is you sit there, you eat, you put a bunch of hot dogs in your mouth, right? Mike Lindell, I thought Mike Pence might be there. And you eat peanuts, you pretend to enjoy it, and then you go home. That's baseball, okay? So because of the radical left canceling baseball in Georgia, I'm canceling baseball. I encourage all my MAGA people to first donate at DonaldJTrump.com, give your Biden stimulus money there, and throw out your baseball stuff, and we'll see what happens.
Now the Red Hatters are mad at them, including Tanny Ramirez, who released this strongly worded statement. Baseball's already losing tremendous numbers of fans, and now they leave Atlanta with their all-star game because they're afraid of the radical left Democrats who do not want voter ID, which is desperately needed to have anything to do with our elections. Boycott baseball and all of the woke companies that are interfering with free and fair elections. Are you listening, Coke, Delta, and all? Now, Donald Trump calling for a boycott of Coca-Cola is beautiful. He had a Diet Coke button on his desk in the Oval Office. The man urinates aspartame, okay? And it's especially funny because with all his complaining about cancel culture, this guy has tried to cancel more culture than anybody ever. If you listen to Donald Trump, you'd have to cancel baseball, Coke, Delta Airlines, Viacom, CBS, Citigroup, Cisco, UPS, Apple, Macy's, Univision, HBO, Oreo, Rolling Stone, Fox News, Starbucks, Geico, Goodyear, Amazon, AT&T, the NFL, T-Mobile, Harley-Davidson, Nike, Comcast, and Merck, which happens to make Propecia the drug Donald Trump takes to slow his balding down. What are the chances that Donald Trump actually gives up Diet Coke or his bald head medicine? None. But he wants you to. And in fact, because Because it always goes like this. This is something Stephen Miller tweeted today. I just had a terrific meeting with the president, not President, Trump. Stephen Miller is not using Propecia, but Donald Trump is drinking a Diet Coke hidden behind the phone on his desk. Isn't that the best? Cheer up, Republicans. You can't watch football, baseball, or basketball, or NASCAR anymore, but you can still watch Trump play golf and drink Coke.
I got stuck on the Cat in a Hat ride at Universal Studios once. That menacing and irresponsible cat spun mercilessly in front of me for about 15 minutes. Felt like years. Felt like it would never end, to the point where I'd begun to accept it as my new reality. This is it, I thought. I live here now. My head ached and filled with Clang Doozers and Fizz Pows. Sorry, that happens every once in a while now. Then the ride started moving again. That's where it feels like we're at with this pandemic. Lockdowns, restrictions, protocols, spinning mercilessly in our faces. Gone and then back, gone and then back. I swear to God, to this day, if I see a cat wearing a hat or even a dog wearing a beanie, I start to sweat. When we got on this ride, it was scary, but let's be honest, it was new and novel and felt a little exciting. Until people we knew started dying or getting really sick. Talking about the pandemic here, not the ride. As far as I know, no one has died because they got stuck in the Cat in the Hat ride. Though I can tell you, after 15 minutes, your formerly happy family will start to turn on each other. Could have got ugly, real quick. But then the ride started moving again. We all just want this slow-moving nightmare ride to end. And it will. It will end. The ride will start moving again. And then it'll end and we'll get some churros and actually not even try to avoid the actors pretending to be the Mystery Inc. gang. Even though I'm pretty sure only Shaggy was supposed to be stoned, not all of them. Wasn't there a dog? Anyway, hang in there. This terrible, terrible ride will end. Eventually.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.